Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Well, it's really Thursday, but I guess for us, it's our Friday.
Words matter.
Braves play tomorrow at 3:05, and the locker room got their way. Matt and Chuck had to come in today. All we're going to do now is get a three-day weekend.
It did not bother me.
And then we're going to have to take Monday off, too.
I left it alone.
Bummer. But as I said yesterday, and I meant this sincerely, if I get the invite from the locker room, I'd love to be here tomorrow at 6 a.m. Then Monday as well, I'd love to be here, 6 a.m. Hold down the first 15 minutes of the show for them.
Well, it wouldn't be much for you to do after that. I mean, by the time they all get here, I mean, there's plenty of hosts.
But they'll get me breakfast, and that happens, though, I heard. Isn't that the deal? Like, if they're late, there's...
Oh, yeah.
I get breakfast. But I'm willing to sit in with Buck Ballou tomorrow. I'm willing to sit in with Nick and Chris for the Chiellino and Domino show. Chiellini and Domino show.
It all works.
It does. So we look forward to opening day tomorrow at 3:05. You have to have your 680 The Fan mobile app, so when you're stuck at the office... Or you're out and about, you want to make sure you have an earbud in with Ben and Joe in your ear, you are covered. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They are Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. As we count down to the draft, and it is getting here before you know it, the doctor of the draft is going to make a house call for us. What does the doc have in store today?
A two-pick combo that one Falcons rival is especially motivated to get right.
I'm intrigued. We'll find out what it means coming up. But first, I mentioned Ben Ingram, who will be on the call tomorrow with Joe Simpson, Braves opener in Philly. We had Ben on the show yesterday, and he's always good. Ben, just good analysis, good stuff. We know how well he calls the game. All that's great. But in the midst of our conversation, he said something that I was not expecting. And he framed it in a way that it wasn't anything he heard, but he said maybe there's something that could happen differently at the end of a game that we might not expect. Take a listen.
So to me, it's not just about, okay, Iglesias is my rock-solid guy in the ninth inning. And I may be wrong on this. This is not from Snit or anything like that, but I'm just kind of reading the room on what the Braves got in the offseason and also the team that, in my opinion, is their biggest hurdle to cross to get to where they want to get, and that's the Phillies.
Okay, so right when he said it, I was like, interesting. Snit is as old school as they come. He does the whole build the bullpen from behind thing, right? At the end of the game, go closer, and then we work back. And Rysell will be his guy. But what Ben said resonated with me, and it made a ton of sense. Part of the reason you went out and got more lefties in the pen, certainly the Phillies. I mentioned yesterday with Ben the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are going to present you Otani and Muncy and Freddie. Like, those are two teams you might see. If Arizona's real, Corbin Carroll could become one of those guys, too, that you think about. What Ben said makes a ton of sense. Iglesias is awful against Bryce and the Phillies. Think how sort of fortunate and lucky they were to have the great double play at the end of game 2 in the playoffs a year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
On that ball that was smoked. Was it Castellanos?
I don't want to say lucky because I don't use that word, but
fortunate.
They shouldn't have won the one game they did get.
But what Ben said makes sense there, or when you're facing – I know not the typical, like, old-school baseball guy when it comes to this. Everybody who plays that game tells me they need to know their roles, so I'll trust them. They need to know their roles. They need to have that in the back of their mind. But to be locked into a certain closer to me is a little weird, only because I've got four lefties in this pen. So if the lineup card in the ninth inning does come up and I'm playing the Dodgers and it's going to be 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to see Freddie and Otani and a righty and then Muncy, hell yes, I'm going Matzik or a Minter or Bummer. Doesn't mean they have to get all three outs, but I'm staying with them. It started the last inning for the first two outs of the next one, and I'm planning for that on purpose, or I am going to let them go through the lineup card for the three batters. This advantage has to be used properly. It's not just, well, Rysell's the guy in the ninth. I don't care who comes up. No. What Ben said made perfect sense to me, and I hope it plays out at different times the way he said it this season.
you're probably right that Billy Martin would have never put up with demanding to know what my role is. It was a different time. Like, the way guys grind at bats and the like, how specialized it is coming from home plate, like, you got to kind of match it on the mound. So, like, I give modern-day players, it's just a different task. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, and the pitch clock showed it, a lot of them are self-important. But it also was a different game. Like, you know, pitchers, why don't they complete games? Because I'm telling you, in 1977, nobody was grinding on that bat like they do now.
Your point is taken. I would add to it, though, in Billy Martin's mind at the beginning of the game, he knew Rich Goshis was getting the ball no matter what at the end of the game. He just knew it.
But he also may give him the ball in the seventh inning and say, would. Bring it home.
You go get eight outs, go get nine outs, no doubt. But I don't mind my manager. I don't want him to deviate from his plan all the time, but knowing that lineup we're facing today, I've got some advantage. This is why my GM went and got Aaron Bummer, and I got Tyler back, and I've got AJ, and I've got Dylan Lee, and I'm going to use that stuff. And in the playoffs, oh my gosh, what an advantage. I think the two reasons Chris Sale and Aaron Bummer are here are named Bryce Harper and who are the other left? Oh, Kyle Schwarber, for example. I'm just giving you those. That's as big a reason. Doesn't mean you're going to face the Phillies again in the postseason, but there's a chance you see them or the Dodgers or one of these teams. This, to me, when they won the championship in 21, we all had a great time with the night shift, right? When the night shift? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, those guys could get lefties and righties out. You can really do some stuff with these four lefties if they're healthy and right to give you an advantage over a lot of teams in baseball. So I love that point from Ben. I thought it was well taken, and we'll see if Snit executes some of that stuff throughout the season. You'll hear the opener tomorrow at 3:05 here on The Fan. Spencer, remember, gets the ball against Zach Wheeler on Saturday. That's a 4:35 first pitch. Max Fried gets the ball against maybe close to be a Brave Aaron Nola, which I still don't believe that ever was close, against Aaron Nola. Then Sunday, Chris Sale gets the ball against Ranger Suarez, who, for whatever reason, Suarez has given the Braves fits.
And I actually like him as a pitcher, I think. I read something either Monday or Tuesday about even complimenting the Braves. I was like, Aaron Nola again? Really? Everybody believes this. It was a national writer. I can't remember who it was. Best offseason moves. And, like, number one, Chris Sale for the Braves. All they gave up was a middle infielder they weren't going to use anyway. They don't have any plans, blah, blah, blah. And they got maybe, you know, so all the reason they love the Braves. And they even mentioned, after not getting Aaron Nola, I'm like, no.
Maybe we're both wrong. I just don't think that was as close. It makes no sense.
Like, Chris Sale wasn't a pivot from, we're either going to give a guy a six-year contract for 163 or pick him up for Vaughn Grissom. One of those. We're not sure.
Well, it's not just pick him up for Vaughn Grissom. It's, all right, Chris, you get 3 years. Because Alex is not giving pitchers more than that if they're 30 or 31. Doesn't mean he will always be that way, but everything he has shown you
$163 million.
Has nothing to make you believe Aaron Nola was going to get a six-year deal here. Now, if the Braves' plan was, you know, kind of F with the Phillies, drop the price a little bit, they gave him a seventh year, it's a bit of a win. And there was a lot of noise about it, but when there's noise, what do I always tell you? Don't believe the noise. Not with the Braves.
No. A-Train's one of those. The best GMs, it's usually pretty boring. You find out after something is completely – They signed Josh Donaldson? Really? What?
Press release comes out. That's when we know.
Stuff comes out about, hey, you know, the Braves are now – they're hot, and they're a player for Aaron Nola. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah. Folks, it's crunch time to get your plans together for the fall. And I know that seems odd because you're like mad at the end of March getting to April. Well, you want to start getting your plans for travel, for games, for where you're going to be each and every Saturday and Sunday throughout the fall. Atlanta Sports Trips wants to take care of that planning for you. It's a turnkey operation that will take care of your hotel accommodations, your game tickets, cool parties, meet and greets, VIP gatherings. And we have our complete trip package now available up and on the website at atlsportstrips.com to Austin. You want to find out all about the trip to see the Dogs and the Longhorns, October 18th and 19th. Full pricing is up at atlsportstrips.com. I did a quick search, Charles, of the hotel rooms again in Austin. A, they're not putting them on sale anywhere because they're all selling them in group rates or just jacking the prices.
No, arm and two legs.
It's not cool. But Atlanta Sports Trips has some added inventory. We are staying at the DoubleTree by Hilton, walking distance to the stadium.
Oh, they got cookies.
They do.
They have the cookies when you check in.
They do have cookies. You're not wrong. Our full trip package will be up for Tuscaloosa to see the Dogs in Bama September 28th as well. Both trips will give you tickets to the game, All you can eat and drink Friday night football party, special guests, plus a 4-hour game day tailgate, food and drink, all included, TVs on site, DJ spinning on the ones and twos. And we're about to announce a very big partnership that I'll tell you about in the next couple of days. So these packages are going to go quick. Book now at ATLSportsTrips.com. Remember, use the promo code 680 for $68 off at the website on ATLSportsTrips.com.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup.
The New Orleans Saints and a two-pick combination that they are very motivated to get right. That Derek Carr thing has already sort of come to a head, and they're already monkeying around with this contract a little bit. They have to make this guy a success. Like, he's so expensive, and they're so married to him. They played games with like a $25 million or $28 million part of the salary that now – no, it's a bonus, and so it's spread over all the years. Oh, well, we have to add another year. Derek Carr's like, outstanding. So he's going to be, by the way, he just turned 33. Like, you look up and suddenly he's already old and it's only been a season. So they've got to make that a success. And I like their, I mean, on the outside, Chris Olave, everybody loves him and they should. Beyond that, I don't know. Taysom Hill still strikes me as a little too important to them. They like some of the younger talent there, but it really they had a bomb with Olave, and after that, a little sketchy, and you're wondering about the returns on Kamara now. In some order, when I say it's a two-pick combination, in some order, a weapon for Derek Carr and a new left tackle, which they also need, and they could use a corner and a pass rusher as well, but I'm just going to stick on offense because Derek Carr is the priority here. Again, when they – did the extra year, they're even more committed to him. So they just got it's got to work. Here is an interesting nugget for you, Matt. New Orleans Saints, who like their misfortune is kind of good news for me. Yeah. I like that. I enjoy it. It brings me happiness. They have two picks in the entire top 100. Now, they're both in the top 45. They have 14. They have their own first round pick. And then they get the Sean Payton pick from Denver. So they're 14, and then they're 45 in the second round. They don't have their own second round pick. And so those are the only two picks they have in the entire top 100. I think at 14, LSU has nothing to do with it. Brian Thomas may be too attractive to the entire situation there to bypass. The issue is it makes a lot more sense to do the left tackle there and then the wide receiver in the second round. I think Brian Thomas is just too intriguing. They take him there, and then they try to figure out the offensive tackle thing in the second round. Other than the team may be more familiar and more of an expert or whatever on Thomas, like I said, I don't think the LSU fans would tell you, they don't take any of our players there. It's a wide receiver and then something to do at left tackle on their two picks.
Time for your checkup, time for your checkup.
So to expand on what you were talking about with Derek Carr, New Orleans has already started to use his contract as a credit card. This season, he's still relatively cheap because they moved some money. He's a $12 million cap hit, but $62 million dead cap. Next season, he's a $51 million cap hit.
He's terrible.
Saints. With a dead cap of $50 million. Now, there is a potential out in 2026, but mark my words, the Saints will again push money back. That's just what they do. That cap hit allows them to get out from Derek Carr for a $29 million dead cap.
Yeah, what they did is they took, it was like $28 million of salary this year and said, no, we're just going to chunk it out over the next 4 years, which means suddenly you drop like another $7, $8 million on the cap hit and the actual cash into all of those years.
It feels like
but you don't have to worry about it right now.
But it feels like a lot of work to hover between 7 and 9 wins.
And keep him. He's 33 already.
I know they want to stay relevant and they just don't want to wave the white flag. But they're just not good enough because of all the cap constraints now to add enough to move past whatever that ceiling they're going
to
face.
And so of all the finances, just got to work with him. And so they're going to do what they have to.
All right, coming up, if this scenario played out, it would create quite the conundrum for the Falcons. And don't you like a conundrum? I feel like we don't get enough conundrums. We'll talk about this conundrum. Say that word. It's fun. We'll talk about it next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. He's Chuck. I'm Matt Chernoff. He's Chuck Oliver. This is my voice. That's his voice.
Hey, I'm Chuck. He's Chernoff. See? We're Chuck and Chernoff in the afternoons.
For you new listeners, we're on every day 2 to 6. Take you right up to 680 Rewind tonight, which will give you some of the best moments of the 680 broadcasting day.
David Holloway's show is next on 680 The Fan.
It's another way, if you want to call it that. I tend to think it's maybe some of the stuff you missed on the Locker Room 6 to 10, or the Buck Belue Show 10 to 11, or the Cellini and Domino program. Comes your way 11 to 2.
How about David After Dark?
If you want. That's when he gets nasty. He likes it. Tomorrow, Braves, Phillies, opener, 3:05. I promise you it's going to happen this time. I know all season and all offseason I said it's happening Thursday. Well, it's happening tomorrow. You'll be able to hear it here on The Fan. Our pregame will really kick off tomorrow morning with the Locker Room at 6 a.m.
7:20 first pitch.
No, 3:05.
First pitch.
Either way, works. Okay. Yeah, it's
good. Yeah. Never want to make that mistake again, do you, DT?
Yeah,
exactly. Again, Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler tomorrow on The Fan. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, great news for everybody who wants to attend a Major League Baseball game, even no fun yet.
Faux show.
I was thinking that was Chuck. But
it did not bother me.
Okay.
Sounds like it bothered him.
I left it alone.
Well, maybe not. Before we get into this conundrum for the Falcons, let's get our top story. Chuck, billions of years from now, the Earth will have a 30-hour day due to the interplay of gravity between Earth and the Moon. That's our top story. So never again do I want to hear anybody out of there. Not enough hours in the day.
So what's that going to do then? The Moon is closer, so we get the light from it fewer hours?
Are we going to have 25 o'clock, 26 o'clock, 27 o'clock? How is that going to work?
It's a rotation thing, though.
I know. I'm
so
confused.
What's the...
It's a lot of thing. I don't want to worry about it.
Grav.
I don't think we have to. Do you think will Earth be around here in a billion years? Like, really? You think so? I mean, come on. Let's be very clear. I don't mean to be so morbid. But
oh, how many years?
I'd go to your games now. I'd get the Game Time app now and first purchase $20 off using The Fan, because the world will not be here in a billion years.
Yeah. Nice plug.
Opt in to Social Security when you can. Yeah, don't put that off.
Right. All right, so I told you this would be quite the conundrum for the Falcons. And I don't think this is going to happen. I'll preface that on the front side, but I will lay out the case being made by a former NFL GM. You know the name Mike Tannenbaum. It's a former Jets GM.
Yeah.
Now a big maca in the media. He did a mock draft because everybody has a mock draft, so Tannenbaum did too, and he said, for my mock, I'm putting myself into the GM chair for each team in the first round and making my own picks. So he says it's not necessarily what I'm expecting to happen, but rather how I'd personally approach each day one selection. And he just bases it off his own evaluations, preferences, philosophies, and rationale. At number one, Tannenbaum takes Caleb Williams. Okay. Number two, he says Drake May to Washington. No surprise there. Number three, Mike Tannenbaum says Jaden Daniels to the Patriots. So 3 for 3, everybody in the world thinks those in some order will be the top three picks. At number four, though, Tannenbaum says J.J. McCarthy should be the pick that he would make if he was the GM of Arizona. And he first says, I know what they're paying Kyler.
About to say, they're stuck with a contract.
Well, but Tannenbaum's point on this is, we've seen teams who are stuck become unstuck very quickly with the big contract of the quarterbacks and dealing out the dead money and moving on, admitting a mistake. So that's not going to happen, but he thinks in some world where if they were to take the quarterback, eat the dead money on Kyler.
I'm not kidding, folks. Over the course of about 18 months, Kyler Murray went from he's going to win an MVP to they don't want him, the head coach is fired, to they gave him the contract, like 200 and something. They gave him the contract, and so they're stuck, married, committed, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Like it'd be unusual if he went somewhere.
It would be unusual, but now not unprecedented after we watched Matt
Russell
Ryan here.
And
Russell Wilson there. Yeah. We've seen now dead money being eaten by a lot of teams. So, again, not going to happen, but Tannenbaum says that's what he would do. He would take J.J. McCarthy. He says at five, he would take Joe Alt, offensive tackle Notre Dame for the Chargers, so Justin Herbert gets big redwood to protect him. At number six, Malik Nabers would go to the Giants if it was Mike Tannenbaum. And at number seven, if he was in the GM chair there, he would take J.C. Latham, Bama offensive tackle.
Hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Back up to the sixth pick.
Giants, Malik Nabers, yeah.
So I understand they would like to add a weapon, Daniel Jones, and see the final year, whatever. They took a wide receiver?
Well, that's what Mike Tannenbaum would do. This is not real.
And it wasn't the other guy?
Well, that's where I wanted to go with this. So if you notice, folks, what I just told you in Mike Tannenbaum's world, Caleb Williams comes off the board, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers, and J.C. Latham. Meaning, when your Atlanta Falcons are on the old clock at number eight, here's the conundrum. What has been called the best player in the draft by a lot of people, most NFL-ready, has been Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, 6'4", can't be covered.
Can you imagine poor Terry Fontenot, who so badly wants to go address the defense? You know he wants to. He's like, I got Dallas Turner's name written on the card, or I've got Jared Verse's name written on the card. But there's Marvin Harrison. He's off in the distance, and he's beautiful. He's 6'4". He's glistening. He's great hands. He can outjump the room. He can take the top off the defense. And Terry's like, I picked the best player available. And now he's starting to flop sweat. And he's got Raheem Morris going, got to get some pass rushers. And outside the door, banging on the door, is Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator. Please get me a pass rusher. But Terry's flop sweating. Marvin Harrison's there. All I have to do is turn in the card. That would be one hell of a mess for Terry Fontenot, who's best player available, if Marvin Harrison in some alternate universe was ever on the board at eight.
Seven is Titans, is that right?
Yep, J.C. Latham would be the pick, according to Tannenbaum.
I said I can't believe that the best pass protector will be there at 6, 7, or 8 or whatever, but he may be, because if he's not, then that means maybe the best receiver. We've talked about that a bunch. That the second best pass protector comes off the board, folks, that's not a stretch either. That happens every single year in the top 10. Somebody says, oh, left tackle, us too.
Well, we don't want to miss out on the next one, because once the best is off the board, how many do you probably value 2 or 3 of them at the most?
What I was just
maybe
saying about
Amarius Mims is the other one you value,
yes,
but you got to move.
I was just saying about the Saints that they may be so tempted at 14 to the receiver that they put off the tackle to the second round, unless they the drop off from wide receiver 14 to the second round, you're like, still the same family. There's no relation but between 14 and 45 for offensive tackles. It's a gulf you just fall into.
But here is now where, if you're Fontenot, you've only got 3 options. Your first option, we're taking Marvin Harrison, where he's going to tell you all he was the best player, and that's what we do, regardless of position. Not popular in some cases, but that's what they would do. Option 2, well, you take the pass rusher or the corner and you lie. You just get in front of everybody at the press conference and say he was our number one player on the board. Everybody does it. Or there's option 3, you trade to a pick who sees the value in Harrison and is just so hungry to get up and like, oh my God, how is he there? And you make the Julio Jones trade in reverse, where you get a boatload of draft capital and you move down and still try to get whatever you think is important on your board.
You put it on somebody else.
Right, exactly. This isn't my problem. This is your problem.
All right, here's the positive. Imagine I could get a game wrecker, and he's supposed to be, and Julio Jones, for instance. Imagine if you had gotten Julio Jones and it just cost you your first round pick. And it wasn't even 6 where you really took Julio. Imagine if you got Julio and all it cost you was your 8th overall pick and you didn't take Julio Jones. Can't take a wide receiver there.
Shouldn't. You can, though. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. You got to stop confusing can't and
you don't
and
understand. This is real. You speak things into existence. That's real. You put it out there enough and then all of a sudden that ish happens.
So it's my fault if something. Okay.
Mush.
Maybe that's the case. I don't know, but it has happened a time or two in the past, there's no doubt. Coming up in 5 minutes for football fans, this will be a December to remember.
Do you remember?
Well, that's September. And it'll be the gift that keeps on giving. I promise you all that. We'll get to it coming up. But first, we got great news for everybody, including No Fun Guy.
If a marketing angle works in pro sports, it gets outright stolen and replicated across the country. That's just what it is. And the Savannah Bananas are showing extreme goofy sort of fun. That's EGF. Extreme goofy sort of fun.
Is that what it is?
Is plenty all right, Matt, even during the sanctity of a professional baseball game. In pro baseball, here's the difference. In football, everything that works, it normally trickles down. And you watch the Berkmar Patriots on a Friday night, and you're like, they look like the damn New England Patriots out there. And they're playing Collins Hill, and they look like the Philadelphia Eagles. It trickles down like that. In pro baseball, it trickles up from the minor leagues because you can try anything you want to. They got to be proven best they can with the Mobile Bay Bears or whoever. Not as often are you trying to prove stuff with the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, they'll let you try, fail, succeed, whatever. And if it works, okay, maybe we'll do that. With the success of a team like the Savannah Bananas, Matt, you know what they do. They're playing baseball. Everybody stops. They break into the Thriller Dance. The collective we seems to like that. You know Frank Gore played for them?
He looked awesome. The video was great.
It was tremendous.
When Peace Up, A-Town Down comes on and he comes out, he didn't dance. The team danced. He kind of shook his hips for a minute and went to the plate. Pretty good.
It looked like he was having fun. It looked like the team they were playing in pink was having fun. Here's the thing about the Savannah Bananas. They were a real baseball team. And then they started to say, we got to do something to attract attention. Here's some routines during the middle of a real game. All right, last summer, they became exhibition only in their tour. All right.
They still have two teams. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. Okay. They're exhibition only. That's the headlining team. And they have scheduled, quote, games. They bring the opponent. Here's the cool part, though. And they'll tell you, we're still baseball players. And they will play what they call a challenger series, a best of three versus a real minor league opponent, like in an officially MLB partner league. It's real baseball with kind of top over their silliness, everything there. And I guarantee you, Matt, if the Kansas City Royals can get an Instagram or a TikTok following like the Savannah Bananas, they'll do it. If the Tampa Bay Rays, if the soon-to-be Montreal Expos, when they come back or whatever, extreme, goofy fun, that is in for baseball fans.
Well, they've sort of done the impossible. And I saw the story of the guy who started it and the owner. They have taken what the Globetrotters did to basketball and done it in baseball, which is the most boring, unappealing to young fan sport that there is. And they've created this buzz that you can't get a ticket. When they announced they were coming to Gwinnett, those tickets were gone in 5 minutes, that they could have done three dates, sold them out in 10 minutes, could have filled up Truist for a week if they wanted to. I mean, this thing is only going to get bigger and bigger, and it's here's the perfect part of it. It's become such an organic and now social media thing that it's cool. At some point, everybody will turn on it because what we always do, it goes from, oh, it's the Savannah Bananas still doing the same. But now it's still the very cool thing of like, oh, they're coming to town. Let me get the tickets. They're impossible to get. And kids love it the way they love watching they loved watching Globetrotter stuff.
Word got around that the Braves, and it's a sort of a minor league-ish sort of thing, and we love those, and that's what the cool thing about baseball is. You can try stuff at a bunch of different levels. That freeze race, that's a minor league sort of thing. We're going to let a fan get on the field and race somebody during the game. I promise you, there are teams everywhere who said we need to come up with our version of this. And so, folks, that the extreme goofy fun, that's on the way for baseball, because here's the truth about baseball. It can be kind of tedious to actually watch a major league game. It's endlessly fascinating to talk about, but it's not the most exciting thing to actually watch. No. And so they found a way to make it that way.
I will say I cannot picture you at a Bananas game because I don't think
my wife loves it.
I have no
doubt.
She
got a shirt.
No question your wife loves it.
I'm no fun guy.
Right. I don't picture you just laughing audibly or, you know, jumping out of your seat. Oh, that's so funny. Frank Gore dancing coming out of the stands. I just don't think that's you. So no fun guy. I don't think you enjoy it.
She said she would.
Frankly, I've been with you at games. I've never seen you move. That's unlike anything.
Well, that's because I chose my words. The sanctity of a baseball game sanctity. Where if you're keeping score, then you need to take it seriously.
Who was the last person you know that keeps score of the game? Chuck. Colin, do you know the stories about Chuck?
That's not.
So a couple of times, and I'll just give you examples.
The Hinsky thing, you could have missed that.
There have been many times we've been together at games. One was now, God, it's 11, 12 years ago. Braves are down 1-0 in the playoffs. It's game 3 against the Giants, and Eric Hinsky hits the 2-run pinch hit home run in the 8th inning, and Turner Field is upside down. And I'm high-fiving and hugging people.
Strangers, people he never even met.
He hates when I do this. I start hugging and high-fiving everybody.
And there's still outs to get.
I look
That's
over,
the thing.
And he's the only guy in his seat. He has not moved.
There's still outs to get.
I mean, but he didn't enjoy the moment. Now
he's still standing by it, by the way.
He didn't win. They didn't win the game because poor Kimbrel blew up.
There were still outs to get.
But you didn't get to enjoy the moment because you were waiting for the 27th out. All right, so there was that one. Then we're at the World Series Game 1 in 21 in Houston. It's me, it's him, it's Chiellini, there's a bunch of us. It's great seats, awesome third base line. Soler leads off a homer. You know my reaction. Like, again, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah!
I look over at him and Chiellini. Not a muscle moved. I don't understand it.
What was the first inning of Game 1?
It's the World Series!
It's the first inning of Game 1.
I was unhinged in that moment. Like, a grown-up should not look like me when I'm at a game, so I'll grant you that. There's some happy middle ground between him and me at a game, but I'd rather be me than him. DT, you know what I'm talking about.
Can I just get this straight? According to Chuck, there is absolutely no reason to celebrate anything throughout an entire season until your team has...
No!
won a championship at the end of the year.
No, that's not it. I'm just saying that, like, in the moment, like, something so important, there were still outs to get,
right.
And we didn't get them.
So let me apply this to real life.
We didn't get them. We got Rick and Keel. That was it.
When your kid graduates high school, you don't celebrate until they graduate college. Because that, to me, that's a moment you don't.
And then you don't celebrate until they get a job.
Or something.
And then get married and have kids.
No, you don't celebrate the birth. You celebrate when that kid grows up, and when they're 18, then you celebrate. I just, like, the moments in life he does not want to show
human
emotion.
Let's see how these retirement accounts develop. Before we get started, excited about 10 fingers and 10 toes.
All right, little Billy, let me talk to you about your 401k.
No, I'm saying that in the moment of the sports thing, that, like, you still, like, it shows you, and you still need to get three more.
You're not wrong, but I still want to enjoy my moments. That's all. 680 The Fan's coverage of all the 2024 March Mania is presented by AquaGuard and Invesco QQQ. Sweet 16 action happens tonight with four games. You can check out some early starts with Clemson and Arizona at 7:09. Disrespected UConn is playing San Diego State at 7:39. Dan Hurley's going to look at his team and go, they're making us play at 7:39. You all know this? We're not playing at 8:39. It's 7:39. You go out and show them.
And did anybody else notice how long we waited for elevators?
Took forever.
Mm-hmm.
Did your room have a little something extra in the minibar? Mine didn't.
San Diego State, right down to the lobby.
Bama will play UNC at 9:39 and Illinois, Iowa State at 10:09. That game better be the greatest game ever for me to see the end of it. For Illinois, Iowa State, that better be 99-98, Christian Laettner and Kentucky. Like, I need that to be that moment for me to see the end of that game at 10:09 tonight. All right, so the news I shared with you earlier, that, and it's not surprising at all, the NFL, in their efforts to take over the world, they're going to have games every day of the week, every day of the year. We're going to have a 36-week season eventually. We're just going to have games all the time. We'll play doubleheaders. They announced we're getting football and Christmas again. Shocking. The only funny part is it's on a Wednesday this year. So the calendar will say December 25th. Don't worry about the day of the week being Wednesday. You're going to get Wednesday football. And the confusing part is, the league, when the schedule is released, is going to have the teams who play on Christmas have to be backdated to play on the Saturday before, so they can try to give them some time to recover for their body that's been in train wreck time and again. Now, with that in mind, Chuck, and I previewed this with you before it ever became reality, this will be the greatest December of our football lives. Do you realize what December is going to look like from December 20th? I'll start there.
That weekend before Christmas is going to be something.
The time that a lot of people start getting some days off from work, and you have a little family fun.
And normally, we're only getting the Arizona Bowl.
Not this year. From December 20th through January 1, this is your football existence, okay? December 20th, you get a college football playoff game. I believe that's Friday night.
You might get two. More about that later.
December 21st, you're going to get three college football playoff games. And you're going to get three NFL games, the triple header on Saturday for the NFL. December 22nd, you get your full slate of NFL action, which at that point now we're playing for playoff position.
Okay, so that's Sunday the 22nd. Okay, go ahead.
Monday Night Football, typical. You'll get that
sure.
On the 23rd.
Yeah, sure.
Now, the league is going to give you Christmas Eve to have a chance to decompress.
That's family.
They're lying. They will add a Christmas Eve game. Mark my words. That will be the last thing they announce here at some point, and that'll be a streamer only. They're going to put that on, the Pet Network.
I don't want to get Peacock.
Yeah, they'll put that somewhere. That'll be on the Tennis Channel. They will put that on anybody that's willing to pay them. The NFL, the Food Network will have their exclusive Christmas Eve game. So then you get a Christmas Day doubleheader, December 25th. I felt the need to tell you that was Christmas. December 26th, Thursday Night Football. December 28th, your triple header of, again, NFL action. NFL,
because y'all are home, so.
Correct. You're going to get your NFL games on your Sunday. Monday Night Football, the 30th. A college football playoff quarterfinal on New Year's Eve, and three more college football quarterfinals on New Year's Day. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest 2 weeks of football we'll ever experience.
And it's the third and second to last games in an NFL slate, which is backloaded conference. Mm-hmm. It's everything, but it's the two of the final 3 weekends of the NFL. And so
awesome. I don't know how we're going to come up for air, but if you're a gambler or a fantasy player or all of the things that we love about it, oh, my goodness. How are you going to have time to see your family? How am I supposed
to? Well, you take them to Harris with you.
That's a good point.
And tell them, all right, we eat breakfast.
I take that back. It's not a good point.
I see you like 1:30 to 2. We'll see.
It would be like Christmas vacation, like Vegas vacation, where I would see them at breakfast and then, you know, daddy's in the sports book. So maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. Now, I stopped January 1. we still got the semis and the college football national championship the week after and 2 weeks after. And NFL playoff action begins 2 weeks later. I don't know. What are we going to do in February? We're going to need oxygen.
Okay, Roger Goodell, all this, he's counting on you saying this. My gosh, we probably need to move the NFL, the Super Bowl, back even another week. He's like, what a grand idea. And push that thing right up to the Sunday. Like, they're going to have, there's going to be a year when Indianapolis, the Colts will build a new stadium. They're going to have the Super Bowl there on a Sunday, and then the combine begins that night in the same place.
And then three days later, the draft. We're going to get it all.
Indiana?
It's in Indianapolis.
Thank you. Damn.
I stepped on the line. I'm sorry, Colin. Producer Colin, in case anybody knows that voice, that's producer Colin. The voices sound alike around here. Everybody's voice sounds alike.
Can't Chuck fill out your like diary me. If you don't know who you're listening to.
Exactly right. All right, coming up, we're going to get a college football today, which means Chuck is going to wow you with all things college football. Tease the audience and hold them. Make it sexy.
An SEC program took an easier path, relatively. The freshmen, not so much.
We'll find out what it means next.
Thank God it's Friday night, and I just got paid.
It's Thursday. I mean, I know it's our Friday, but it's Thursday for the collective city of Atlanta and everybody else in this radio station who you'll wake up tomorrow morning with the locker room 6 to 10. You'll stick and stay for the Buck Belue show 10 to 11 and then the Domino and Cellini program 11.
Big Nick and Jersey Boy.
To 2. It'll all lead up to our pregame festivities for a first pitch at 3:05. On-time departure happening tomorrow. Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler. What about a 4-spot on Wheeler in the first? How's that sound? Kind of fun?
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. You'll be able to hear it on the Fan mobile app, so download that. Be able to tap tomorrow.
My 30-30 guy, Austin Riley. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a wild prediction, though. He won't go 30-30.
So we asked the audience.
But
he
would get off to like that 4-spot. That would be Austin Riley.
Yeah. Well, we said, though, well, he's going to hit third, so that's going to be tough in the first inning.
No, he would be part of it.
That's fine. We said wild predictions. And you're wild. More wild, you can give us the better. So I said Ronald Acuna hits 427. He steals 194 bases. Chuck's response was, Riley can go 30-30. Which, by the way, him stealing 30 bases is not the most realistic. But that's not crazy and wild.
When you said the 194, I knew I had not
could have tweaked it.
Calibrated.
You could have said Riley go 60-60. That would have been wild. The Falcons have released Justin Schaefer, which proves they still don't like Georgia players. You can give that kid a chance. When did Justin ever get a shot? It's so typical. Obvious they don't like him.
It'll take a lineman?
And it's all these different head coaches who don't like Georgia players and all the different GMs. Maybe it's Arthur. You ever think that? Maybe he's the tie. He doesn't like Georgia. He called and said, release Schaefer.
Just gave Charlie Warner $12 million.
Chuck, stop. Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Arthur, you're muted.
Arthur, you're muted.
I'm trying to do a thing with a narrative here.
Sorry, it's a bad. Nah, boo, we don't like Georgia players in Athens.
All right,
come to Flower Branch.
What Arthur Blank said is I already got a dog, now you get your one. One in, one out. That's the play right there.
Oh, it's like a club. No, we're at capacity.
They don't like him, so Justin Schaefer, he has been released. We'll continue during the NCAA tournament giving you the best of Buck's one shining moments.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Buck, after we get some college football info from the King.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Good to be the King.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
Great folks to have out to your house when you got an issue on top of your house. Roof, chimney, skylight, anything up there. I can tell you about all three of those. If there's another issue, they probably handle that as well. Roof It Forward, fantastic people, and then in the community as well. Roof It Forward, good folks to have out when you need them. So I'd said that the SEC program, they took easier path relatively. That's the Kentucky Wildcats, and they wanted some exciting, let's get downfield flyers, and they decided to go to Pahokee, Florida. It's a pretty good place to go to look for SEC caliber receivers, and so they got a kid in their freshman class. He's not an extremely highly rated recruit. He's actually down towards the bottom of their incoming class. He's a three-star recruit out of Pahokee High School. Kid named Hardly Gilmore, and not only is he only a three-star recruit, but he's an early enrollee, and they still have the two freaks from 2 years ago that they got with Dane Key and Barry and Brown, as well as the transfer from Purdue that everybody loves. They have two more freshmen that had sort of off seasons last year when they had their opportunities. It was a really slow offense where nobody was able to really stand out and was confusing because They got the OC they wanted. They got the quarterback in the transfer portal they wanted. And they got both transfers and through high school recruiting, the wide receiver core that they were after. And it just never really worked. Well, Dane Key and Barry and Brown are back. Those are two now rising junior wide receivers, and they're NFL guys, both of them. Somehow this true freshman, only a three-star kid, Hardley Gilmore, they're halfway through their spring practice, and everybody's looking around loving Gilmore and his opportunity to step in and be a big part of the offense this year. If you care, 6'1", 170. When you look at a three-star kid, if it's coming out of you're looking at the ratings and it's from Connecticut, it's from Idaho, it's from Montana, if it's from Florida – and you're looking at, here is the list of top 50 kids in the state of Florida and the state of Texas and the state of Louisiana, et cetera. That's where you get a little bit more context. A three-star in Florida, maybe he was just going up against five-star, four-star corners all season. So Hardley Gilmore is already making a big impression in Kentucky and should be part of the offense.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
All right, a couple of baseball things here quickly. Shohei Ohtani made his Dodger debut, at least at Dodger Stadium today. Hits a double into the corner, tries to stretch it into a triple. There was one problem. Mookie Betts was standing on third base. So he had to go back. He got thrown out. Clearly distracted by what's going on in his private personal life. There's no doubt. That right there, Shohei distracted. He's got bigger real-world problems to deal with.
Who's coaching third?
Mike Marshall. No, I have no idea. Chuck, you know what they're yelling to him? Find your third base, coach! Right. So the news came from Justin Toscano that the Gwinnett Stripers set their roster and their rotation does not include Hurston Waldrop. He will start in Double A, which had some people surprised. Now, a couple of things can be at play here. Number one, he is a lot younger than everybody else. He was drafted just last season, very inexperienced. And a lot of times the Double A opportunities to face the like best young prospects are there. Doesn't mean they're not also in AAA, but a larger number of them are in AA, and AAA becomes a lot of 4A players. So I wonder if any of that has to do with the decision.
A lot of times over the last probably 5, 6, 7 years, AA has been the level where you can then sort of, you may stop at the AAA team and get some experience, but mostly AA, they realize who they really like. And as you said, the AAA team has become sort of a staging area to have guys ready to pop back up to the bigs.
And the Braves are loaded with a bunch of young pitching. Some guys who are probably not big parts of the future, Dylan Dodd type guys, Darius Vines types, Alan Winans types, but sort of nice depth. But there is also some other guys that I know that they kind of think are in that next group, including AJ Smith-Shawver. So it's a nice mix. You want to stay connected to all the latest news like we just gave you or your favorite fan shows, you can do it on the Fan app, all sponsored by Beaver Direct. Beaver Direct is the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfComing.com to see what
Wowzers.
That's right. What WOW really means. Download the Fan app now in the Apple app in Google Play stores.
It's now time to see what Buck brought to the show. It's Buck's best line of the day.
Coming up in 15 minutes, let's call it.
15, huh?
Yeah, 15 on the dot. We'll get to a dog beat. Georgia football is moving. We'll tell you where they're going.
Oh, that's deep.
That is depressing. But I'm being told we got to talk about it.
Well, who's forcing that?
Upper management. They watch now on the 6A, the Fan app, which you can listen and watch now. So they're watching very intimately.
Well,
so
I hope they have their pants on.
Yeah, me too.
I hadn't thought about that.
We still had audio from the 2 weeks that the Buck and Hutt show.
I forgot they worked together. Buck and Hutt did work together, right? That was after Buck and Hutt.
There's actually a lot of moments from that show.
Are there a lot of one shining moments? So we're not going to be able to get to all of them. So what do we do about it? Do we podcast those or how do we relive some of those great? I have, in my mind, no memory of Buck and Hutt working together.
Is that on your resume, Colin?
Producer Colin.
You had nothing to do with that? Okay.
I think DT, Derek Thomas, weren't you involved in that somewhere?
No. I was just going to say I'm kind of in that boat.
Just forgetting about it?
Must have forgot about it.
But you were, you must have forgot. But you did Buck Show for a good while, right?
Yeah, but not when Hudson was
there. Right, solo.
Yeah.
Okay. How was that experience?
Love it.
You were very quick to announce how much you loved working with Buck. Now, sadly, we're not playing opening day baseball today because Philadelphia is dumb. Major League Baseball is dumb. And here we are just watching everybody else play. But there are all these day games. This is the one thing I will give baseball credit. Most of the games today are all 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock day baseball starts. in a couple of games. I know Braves fans, like, it matters. It's March. But the Dodgers, for instance, who we're going to keep an eye on all year, they lead the Cardinals 3-0. That game in the third inning, Mookie Betts, he hit a home run so far in that game. Freddie Freeman has got a hit in an RBI as well. In the division, the Marlins are tied 2-2 with the Pirates. That game in the bottom of the third. Astros are up 4-0 on the Yankees. That game in the top of the third. Nationals are down 3-0 to the Reds, just at least a couple of those games. Now tonight, Cubs-Rangers is the ESPN spotlight game. The world champion Rangers, I'm sure they'll do the unveiling of the banner and have the big pomp and circumstance.
Ring time.
Ring time. They'll host the Cubs, and then late night tonight, you'll get Guardians-A's, Red Sox-Mariners, Rockies-Diamondbacks, all low West Coast. So we got to wait till tomorrow to get our first game underway. Remember, tomorrow, 3:05, the opener. Right here on the Fan, we'll have all 162, all the way through the parade, all the postseason. It happens here with Ben and Joe on the call. Make sure you have your app and it's downloaded and ready to tap for all the fun. All right, coming up next, AA explains why he brought AD back one more time.
He gonna be back.
We already is back. Plus, the dog was really mad again.
Try somebody else for that.
And it's all because of the peacock.
Enough.
Nobody should be this mad at the peacock. We'll let you hear it next.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon background screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.